So if scientists are able to produce organs someday, maybe that day is not that far away, then that raises another issue.
If you have a company that wants to manufacture these and sell them to hospitals, they have to be able to preserve them, to put them in a freezer somewhere so that they can make many at a time so it's cost effective.
That's Jens Carlsen. He is an associate professor of mechanical engineering at Villanova University. His specialty is cryogenics. That's the freezing of tissues and cells. And he says there's quite a bit of work ahead.
The problem is that with current technology, when you freeze something living, like a living cell or living tissue, it's not as effective as it could be. So if you have something critical, like a liver transplant, when you thaw it out of the freezer, you want it to be 100% functional. If you're just freezing some cells that you want to use in your research lab, if you take them out of the freezer and 50% of them are dead, well, after a few days in an incubator, they will grow back. But you don't have that luxury when you're doing tissue engineering.
Carlsen is trying to improve the process of freezing tissues, and I asked him what the biggest problems are.
Well, so it's kind of paradoxical in that, you know, when you bring tissue down to very cold temperatures, minus 196 Celsius is liquid nitrogen temperature, they're very stable at that temperature. But it's in bringing it down to that temperature and also in actually transition it back up to room temperature and body temperature, that's when the damage can happen. And so, you know, people will be familiar with frostbite. So freezing tissues, you know, and a lot of times is associated with killing the tissue and killing the cells. And of course, we don't want that when we're trying to preserve an organ.
And what kills the tissue? What happens that is detrimental?
Well, there are many ways that things could go wrong. One of the really important mechanisms that cause damage in cells is when the water inside the cell crystallizes. So the cells contain maybe 70 to 80% water, and when the temperature is cold enough, of course, that water will turn to ice. And so it turns out that a lot of cells can withstand ice if it's outside a cell, but if the water inside a cell freezes, there's just so much molecular machinery inside the cell that it ends up destroying the cells.
Does it expand and burst things? I mean, that's just my very elemental understanding of what might happen there.
Well, that's probably as far as we understand it also with regards to exactly how the ice causes the damage. And of course, ice does expand, and it's not implausible to think that that plays part of a role. But it also, you can imagine, it would really crowd all the things that are in the cell, and it might just push things too close to each other so that they get kind of smooshed in between these ice crystals. So we don't know exactly how the ice causes damage, but we know there's almost a one-to-one correlation between when we see ice form inside a cell and that cell then dying.
Can that be prevented, though? I mean, it seems like when you freeze it, then the water inside the cell is going to freeze too.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. So it's not inevitable. We can prevent it. The way we prevent it is by taking some of the water out of the cell. So this can be done in two ways. Either you can add certain chemicals at the beginning of the process. So these are called cryoprotectants, but, you know, in kind of layman's term, you can think of them as an antifreeze type chemical. And they enter inside the cell, and in so doing, they replace some of the water. So you replace some of the water by this antifreeze chemical, and then you have less water, and also you've added this chemical that actually depresses the freezing point. And the other way you can remove water is actually, depending on how you freeze the cell, some of the water will actually naturally leave the cell. The faster you freeze the cell, the less time there is for water to leave. And so by manipulating the temperature history, or called temperature profile, so how the temperature changes with time, does it go fast or slow? We can go fast, maybe go slow initially, then stop for a while, then go fast for a bit. So there's many ways we can vary this temperature profile, and each choice we make has a different outcome.
And what do you do now with this information? What can that lead to?
Well, our goal is to understand these processes well enough that we can actually develop computer simulations that will predict whether a certain tissue or organ or cell will be damaged for a given freezing process. And by running that kind of simulation, you know, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, you could find the absolute best method for preserving that tissue. The advantage of our approach is that once we figure out what's going on and once we've developed these computer simulations, we can use them and reuse them for every possible organ or tissue. The other benefit of doing the cryopreservation research now is that with tissue-engineered bioartificial organs, we actually have an opportunity to design the organs so that it makes it easier to freeze it. So we could, you know, put in different cell-cell connection proteins that behave in a better way already when we build the organ. So by developing that knowledge now, we can actually benefit the tissue engineering technology.
Jens Carlsen is an associate professor of mechanical engineering at Villanova University.